That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. I don't know. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him.
And a woman who was there who had been the subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion. with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we ask now that you would speak this word into our life. In Jesus' name, amen. When we get to the end of the sermon, it might be an opportunity for some open prayer, responding to God's word, so you might like to keep that in mind. Well, it's been a big week and a hard week in many ways. We've all no doubt seen the devastation that has taken place in Fiji with Cyclone Winston. 44 lives lost, and it might be many more. Homes destroyed, villages flattened. Last year it was Vanuatu, and this week it's been Fiji. You just think of the power of those winds, up to 325 kilometres per hour. What could people do? The force of nature just roaring through, ripping through their village. This week has not been a good week for Emily. It's been her third week in hospital, and it's been one of her worst weeks. She's such a fighter, but she's fighting it harder and harder to keep fighting. I took a funeral on Monday. I saw a mother there trying to process the loss of her own mother. I visited a lady in hospital. She's trying to come to terms with the prospect of losing her leg. In all of these, there's a sense of helplessness and nothing that they can do. There's a longing for things to be different, for something to be done, and perhaps for the kingdom of God to come. Well, we're up to section 2 of our series in Mark, revealed, looking at Jesus, and in what we've just read is part of a wider section that we're looking at today, all about the power of Jesus. It's titled The Power. His power over nature, the evil, sickness, and death. But how does it speak to people in Fiji this week? How does it speak to Mal and Mel at the moment? How does it speak to Leslie, to Carol? It does, but perhaps it doesn't seem that way. So we're going to have a look a little bit more at this and see how this word does speak into our life today. So the structure for this section looks something like this. So it starts and ends with opposition. At the start, we've got opposition to Jesus, which comes from his very own family and friends, and they think he's out of his mind, right? They think he's lost it. And the religious leaders, they think he's of the devil. Now, just imagine being one of the disciples at the time, right? His family think he's lost it. The religious leaders think he's of the devil. And you've obeyed Jesus' call and you are following him. But that's got to be a little bit strange. The end of this section, there is also opposition to Jesus from his hometown. Those people that know him best. In the middle, though, we have these 8 stories. 4 parables and 4 miracles. And it's the 4 miracles that we're going to be looking at this morning. The stilling of the storm, the driving out of legion, the healing of a sick woman, and the rising of Jairus' daughter. And in each of these, we see the power of Jesus in every aspect of life, over nature, evil, sickness, and death. So let's look firstly at the stilling of the storm. Jesus is in the boat with his disciples. And remember that some of these disciples are fishermen, right? So they're used to going out on the boat. They're used to being at sea. And then there's a storm. And this is a storm like no other, to the point that they think they're going to drown, right? They are scared. I don't know if you remember, if you were here a few years ago, when we looked at this story. We had a family service here. Adam Jolliffe was here. And he reenacted this scene. And the light was eerie. We had the sound of the wind. We had tossing of waves. And there were kids who were literally scared, and some had to leave. Right? Adam did such a good job in reenacting, getting us to get into this and see what it was like, that it was scary. Right? These men in the boat, they are scared. They're men of the sea. But Jesus, he's not one bit concerned. He's asleep until they wake him up. And then he speaks to the wind and the waves like you might speak to a child. Quiet! And all of a sudden, there's no storm. The wind and the waves, it's just dead calm. Probably unlike when you speak to a child. Right, this is extraordinary. He's just spoken a few words and creation has listened to him. Just like God spoke and things were created, Jesus now speaks and creation listens to him. Creation does what he says. That's not just amazing, that's amazingly scary, isn't it? And the disciples, well, they're no longer scared of the storm because there is no more storm. But now they're scared of Jesus. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus, he's more powerful than the storm. He can control the storm. And these disciples, they are afraid. So Jesus has power over nature. Now the disciples, they don't have much time to recover from that. They step out of the boat when they get to shore. And then they're met by a man who has an evil spirit or an unclean spirit. And he comes out of the tombs to meet Jesus. Now this is one scary guy. No one can restrain him. No one can subdue him. He is so strong. He's locked up in chains, but even those chains cannot restrain him. He just rips them off. This is one strong, scary guy. And night and day he sits in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. Until Jesus gets out of the boat. And this man sitting in the tombs, he sees the boat and he sees Jesus. And he runs and he falls to his feet to Jesus. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High? Swear to God that you will not torture me. See, this guy, he knows who Jesus is. He knows the power that Jesus has. Jesus is able to heal this man, and he does. To the point that he now sits, he's dressed, and he's in his right mind. He's no longer disturbed, he's no longer possessed, and it's now that the pigs are, and they kamikaze over the cliff, and they drown. the power of Jesus over evil. No one was able to constrain the evil of this man, the powers of evil in this man, except Jesus. It wasn't a problem for him. Right, there's people around. They've just seen what Jesus has done. They are afraid. Who is this guy? Jesus gets back into the boat. I'm not sure how keen the disciples are to join him, but they do. They go with him. But as Jesus is stepping into the boat, he says to the man, "Go and tell your family how much the Lord has done for you." The man goes, he obeys. But interestingly, he tells how much Jesus has done for him. Now, I don't know if the man equates the Lord with Jesus, perhaps. He has just called Jesus the Son of the Most High God, so maybe. But Mark wants us to know who Jesus is and where the power of Jesus has come from. That it comes from the Lord. Now that is who Jesus is. Well, they cross the lake, and this time, as they get to the other side, there on the other side, there is a man, and he is synagogue ruler. His name is Jesus. And he comes up to Jesus and he falls on his feet as well. And he pleads with Jesus as only a father could do. He says, "Jesus, my daughter is dying. Please come and then lay your hands on her that she might be healed and live." Right, this is the desperation of a father who just happens to also be the ruler of the synagogue. Right, Jesus goes with him. But as he goes, there's so many people around and the large crowd is pressing on in him. And here we get miracle number three, because we're now met by a woman. And this woman, she's been suffering for 12 long years, suffering internal bleeding. Just like no one could restrain Legion, no one has been able to heal this woman. She's gone to every doctor. None of them have been able to help. In fact, she's only got worse. Her condition has got worse and worse. She's seriously ill. She's unclean. She'd be a social outcast. So she's got no friends. She's lonely. She'd be poor. But Jesus is here. So she comes up from behind and she pushes her way through the crowd. And she can't quite get to Jesus. But she reaches out and she touches his cloak. And just by touching his cloak, all of a sudden, she's healed. The bleeding, it stopped, it's gone away. She is healed. Extraordinary, isn't it? Who is this man? Well, that's extraordinary healing power, isn't it? He doesn't even say anything. She just reaches out and touches his cloak, and she is healed. That should fill us with awe. Now Jesus knows that a woman's life has just been changed. Now he knows that power has gone out from him. So he stops and he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" And now it's the woman's turn to be scared. She knows it's her. She knows that she's been healed. She knows that the power that has gone out of Jesus has come upon her, and she has been miraculously healed just like that. So she now falls at his feet and she trembles with fear. All this falling at Jesus' feet, right? Sign of worship, isn't it? Falling at one's feet. Have a look, verse 34. What does Jesus say to her? Daughter. When do you think was the last time anyone called her daughter? But Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus frees her from her suffering. And with that interruption, with that miraculous healing, then the message comes to Jairus. Your daughter is dead. So just as one daughter is freed, another is deceased. But Jesus, he ignores that. He keeps going. Death is not beyond him. Who is this man? They make their way to Jairus' home. When they get there, it says that there's a commotion, that there are people everywhere. There's crying, that there's loud wailing. This reminds me of a scene last year when I went to Solomon Islands. One of our team who we were training, so one of the locals, died while we were there of a heart attack. I visited the hospital, the morgue, where his body lay to try to comfort the son. And there were just people everywhere, and I was wondering, who are all these people? They're grieving, they're crying, they're hugging each other. He wasn't even from that island, but they were family and friends who were there mourning at his loss. Ezekiel had died, and there was nothing that we could do. Well, Jesus, he takes the little girl by the hand and he says, little girl, get up. And she does. Just like that, she's able to get up. She comes back to life. Extraordinary. Jesus has power over death. And they are all astonished. Who is this? Well, this is Jesus. He has power over nature, power over evil, power over sickness, and power over death. He has power to change lives. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the one who proclaims that the kingdom of God has come near. And he calls people to repent and to believe the good news. And we're invited to believe in him. And many, many, many of us here have accepted that invitation, and that is what we are doing. So we've seen his power. We've seen that he is all powerful. But it does beg the question, doesn't it? Why things happen today as they do? And why don't we see his power today? Where was his power over nature in Fiji? His power over sickness right at the moment for Emily or Carol. His power over death for Leslie's mum. Couldn't he have redirected those winds? Couldn't he have made them miss the islands of Fiji and be out into sea? Or just to stop altogether? Emily might ask, do I get a miracle? Jesus could do these things. Maybe for Emily, the last it's nearly 5 years now. Maybe that is a miracle. The doctors, they're still amazed that she is living. It's hard, isn't it, when we know Jesus has the power, we know how powerful he is, but we don't necessarily see it today? Well, here's one answer. Jesus shows us his power and he points us to the kingdom of God. He shows us who he is by his power and he invites us to be part of the kingdom of God. And we see that by these miracles he does what only God can do. And he doesn't promise miracles today or even back then. And even here, there are many, many people who he doesn't heal. What does he do? He says, I need to go on to the next village to proclaim the good news, the kingdom of God. And it's in the kingdom where there will be no suffering, no sickness, and no death. Jesus has come. He's come in power. And, spoiler alert, when we get to the end, he will defeat death itself. Jesus will die, but God will raise him up to life again. And there Jesus defeats the greatest enemy, death itself. He dies, he rises again, he's the first to be resurrected, and he brings us into the kingdom. And so that is our hope. It doesn't mean that everything will be right here and now, but it will be in the kingdom. And so we look forward to the kingdom where everything will be made right. And this world so much reminds us and tells us every day that things are not right and we need Jesus and we need him to come for the kingdom to come. And only then will everything be put right. I don't know if you heard many of the interviews this week of some of the local Fijians. I loved hearing of them and how they spoke of the Lord. And they were thankful. And they spoke of blessing. Everything. And they're still able to look forward and be thankful to the Lord. I love with Emily. And the way that she speaks about, when Jesus comes back, I get a new body. She's six and she knows that she is going to get a new body in the new creation and that is going to be a perfect body. It's going to be like Jesus' body. It's going to be a glorious body. And that is her hope. We can have every confidence because of who Jesus is and what he has done. The whatever might be happening in our life, we can put our trust in Jesus. So come and put your trust in Jesus. Come and keep believing in him and keep having eyes for the kingdom. Keep longing for that day to come when Jesus returns and he takes us home to be with him forever.